song, Praise the Lord, and a beautiful truth. All right, well, we're in the book of Luke, and I told Tim, he said before the service, I said, what's the scripture? And I said, Luke, and he said, Luke 2? But it's not Luke 2, but it is Luke 3, and I want to talk to you this morning about prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Verse 4, it says, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Father, I pray you bless the preaching, and we certainly need your help now to speak to our hearts, to convict us of things in our lives that are not right, to teach us, Lord, to help us to go the direction you want us to go and do what you want us to do. And especially if there's someone here this morning who's never trusted you as Savior, I pray today would be the day they would be saved. We look forward to what you're going to do in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This text refers back to Isaiah chapter 40, and it gives this prophecy of these days and what was going to happen. But it also is referring to a terminology that was used and actually took place in those days, and how whenever a city, a village, wanted the king of that nation to come to their city to visit them, to bless them, to maybe be able to help them out financially or help them with different things, they would have to work on the road. And if you can imagine going back to those days, they didn't have the equipment like we have. Of course, they probably didn't have the potholes that we do here in Michigan. But anyway, no, they had all those same problems and even worse. But they wanted the road to be just right so that the king will come. And it is my understanding, as you read history and you learn about these days, that the king would not come unless the road was just the way that it needed to be. And so that is what it's talking about here. When it talks in verse 4, it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways shall be made smooth. Now, again, it's a reference back to those days and how the road literally would have to be prepared for the king to be able to come and before he would come. And it gives four different things that had to take place. The valley needed to be raised, the Bible says. In other words, wherever there's a valley, they would have to raise that up. They'd have to build that up. The mountain and hills, wherever there was a big mountain or a hill where that road was, they would try to take those down and cut those down or even go around those. A crooked path would have to be made straight. Again, this is for the king. We're going to do anything we can for the king. And then it said that the rough would have to be made plain. They'd have to smooth it out. They would not. King wouldn't appreciate many of the potholes, amen, that are here in Michigan. And so if they didn't do these things, and if the roads were terrible and they were very treacherous, obviously the king would not go to that village. Therefore, they would not receive that blessing. And so if there's bumps and holes and winding roads and big old mountains or hills to climb or valleys to go down into, obviously that would discourage the king from coming. Now, we all know that that is also making reference to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here in Luke, it's referring obviously to how John the Baptist would be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and he would be crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And obviously referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes through and he gives all these different things. So I believe there is not only this meaning that goes back to the roads of that day, but I think it also goes back to a spiritual meaning and some things that, four things that we need to do in our lives, four things that we need as far as the church is concerned, because we need the king to come. Amen. We want him to come. We want him to come into our lives and bless us. We want him to come into our lives and answer our prayers. We just want him to come. Amen. We want him to come and take us in the rapture. We want him to come and set up a kingdom. Praise the Lord. But again, there's some preparation that has to take place. And there's some things that have to happen. And John the Baptist, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But he came as a little baby. And he died on a cross so that we could be saved. And he came to pay for our salvation. But oh, let me tell you, he's coming again, folks. And there are some preparations that need to be made. The highway, the road needs to be right. Hey, do you need God's blessing in your life today? Do you want the King to come? I think these four things will help you to have God bless in your life. I think there are four things that we need and that we should be pushing for as a church as far as Him coming again the second time. Prepare the way of the Lord. Four things I want to show you today from this passage of Scripture. The first thing is hope. We need hope. We really do. Now, hope, obviously, is a result of our faith. You know, if you believe what God says, then you have hope. If you believe your old King James Bible, then you can have hope. You know, I it's sad to say, I see a lot of Christians who just don't look like they have a whole lot of hope. I'm watching a lot of people who are kind of, you know, scared and seem to be wringing their hands nervously about all the things that are going on. And I believe it's because they just don't have hope. Now, the Bible says here, every valley shall be filled. The valleys are going to have to be filled up. Those low valleys are going to have to be filled up for the King to come. Those low valleys are going to have to be full because obviously, and you see this so many times, that valley, that could cause a detour. That valley could fill up with water and then we're going to have to detour. How many folks, because of a valley in your life, have detoured off of what God has for you, a plan that God has for your life, because of some low place in your life, some valley in your life? Hey folks, there's hope. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He's coming. He's coming. And He may come into your life and bless you and help you. I guarantee that valley's going to end real soon. We need hope. We need hope. We need that spot to be filled in. Keep your place here. Go to Psalm 31. The book of Psalms and chapter 31. Psalms 31. Hope. The Bible says in verse 24, Psalm 31, 24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that what? Hope in the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. But here's what you have to do. You have to hope in the Lord. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as we hear the Word of God, as we listen to the Word of God, as we receive it and receive it in our hearts, as we receive the Word of God, we believe God, and we have hope. I said this in Sunday school, and I really believe this. There are so many Christians, you really don't believe He's coming again. You just don't think He's going to answer your prayer. You just really are convinced that nothing's going to happen. It's just not going to change. You know what? You need a good old-fashioned dose of hope. You need to believe God. You need to believe His Word. He said, look, He'll strengthen your heart. He says He'll do all of that, but you need to hope in the Lord. Could I remind you that God's power is a supernatural power? It is not of man. It's not a God coming down and psychoanalyzing you to convince you everything's all right. It's a matter of God saying it and you just saying, God, I believe You. I believe You. I really believe You're coming. I believe You're coming to answer my prayer. I believe You're coming to our vacation Bible school to see to save many lost people. I believe You're coming to help me out of my mess. I believe You're going to get me out of this valley and this problem. God, there's hope. There's hope. You know, God's people, of all people, should have hope. God's people of all people should not be dwelling in a valley and wringing their hands worried about whatever's going on around us. I'm going to tell you, we get low and we get discouraged, but Satan feeds that all the time. He feeds that. He's doing everything he can to keep us discouraged. I'm not one to just be discouraged, but I'll tell you, he fights it all the time. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we can blame him all that, well, the devil did this, the devil, but somewhere along the line, you are going to have to rise up out of that valley. My Bible says we have to fill up that valley, and we're the ones that have to get in the Word of God and believe what God says, and He's going to strengthen us as long as we have that hope. That hope will keep you going. Look at 1 Samuel 30. Go back to Luke, but keep your place there, but go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I love the story here, and I love what happens here. And I'm telling you, we want to blame this, and we want to blame that, and we even want to blame the devil for a lot of things that go on in our lives. But I'm going to tell you, if you're in a valley today, and you're just laying in that valley, and you're discouraged today, and you just don't have any hope, I'm telling you today, you don't have to live like that as a Christian. It came to pass, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. I mean, here's their wives, their children, all that they had, it's all taken captive. They lift up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever cry like that? I mean, you ever get to a place where you weep and weep and weep and weep and you just don't even think you can get up? You've wept so much. That's where they were. David's two wives were taken captives. Now see, David's the leader, but listen to me. It's not just David listening to his people weep. David also is affected. And his wives are taken captive. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, not only is David weeping for his people and he's weeping for himself, but now the people are blaming him for everything. And the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But notice what it says, and I love this. You ought to underline it in your Bible. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He found a place where he could get alone with God, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? That's what we need to do. That's called filling in the valley. That's called, you know what? I'm not going to stay in the valley. I'm not going to stay in this state of depression and discouragement. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to level things out. I'm going to get up. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. You know, there's so many ways to do it. So many. Just read your Bible. You know, and you know, there's some folks, well, I read my Bible and it just keeps pointing out how wicked and vile I am. Then praise God, you can be saved. I promise you, every negative you give, I'll give you a positive. I don't care what it is. Every negative, I'll give you a positive. And I'll turn it around on you. And you can do that yourself. But what we want to do is we want to have a pity party in a valley. I promise, hey, listen, get in the valley long enough, it's going to rain long enough, you're going to drown. Get up above that thing. And encourage yourself. Again, he had to do it in the Lord. In the Lord, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay, you're not going to encourage yourself in the world. If you get in the world, you're going to end up discouraged. See, our problem is we want to get in the world and try to encourage ourselves. Well, I'll go out and have fun. Most of the fun is going to get you in trouble. You know, if by fun you mean coming and fellowshipping with God's people and getting involved in Vacation Bible School, that's not what you mean, though, is it? No, you get in the world, you're going to get discouraged more. But you get in the Lord, and you're going to get encouraged. He encouraged himself. What do you suppose he did? He looked in the mirror and said, "You ugly." But then he said, "But God loves me." Amen? And he looked in the mirror and said, "You're a sinner." Then he said, "But God forgives me." Are you with me here? Hey, you know, he looked in the mirror and said, "Hey, you deserve hell." Yeah, but I don't have to go there. See, talk to yourself, but be positive every now and then. Quit being down on yourself. Get out of the valley. Oh, we've lost our money. Yeah, but you still got food. Yeah, we lost our job. Yeah, but you got enough to keep you going for a while. There's always something to look at and say, you know what, I need to be encouraged. God's grace is encouraging. God's wonderful grace is encouraging. And it should get you out of that valley. And the devil absolutely, positively hates it. Look at some verses here. Psalm 42. Talking about hope. Psalm 42. Hey, you know, that's a lot of what Vacation Bible School is all about for some of the kids. Some of the kids, we'll see them at Bible school, and we may never see them again. Are you listening? But you know what we're going to do? We're going to give them hope while they're here. We're going to give them all kinds of hope. Amen? Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I'll praise him for his smile. I'll praise him that he's praising and rejoicing. I'll just praise him. And there's hope in that. See, when's the last, last time you had trouble, the last time you had problems, did you just stop and start praising God? You know, what we want to do, though, is get down and discourage, and we want to dig that valley deeper. God said, no, you got to raise that valley up, and that's hope. Get out of your valley today. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Psalm 119. Psalms 119 and verse 49. Bible says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Where did it come from? Remembering the word. Amen. Remember the word. Devil wants you to forget the word. He wants you to forget God's word. Hey, remember the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. There's hope in that. Remember the word. Hey, you know, this whole week, I understand we're talking about Christmas because we all believe in His first coming. Our problem is we don't ever associate the fact, well, He came once. He's coming again. That's hope. The blessed hope, the Bible says. Amen. Amen. You got to raise those low spots. We want the King. I want Him to bless. By the way, is He going to bless the guy that is rejoicing and praising Him? Or is He going to bless the guy who's, woe is me. I know the Bible says rejoice, but I don't feel like it. I know the Bible says I'm not supposed to fret and worry, but you know what? I like worrying. And I like fretting. And you're not going to stop me. Look, do you want God to do something in your life? Do you want God to really bless you? I'm telling you, get out of the valley. Titus 2. I still have my place in Luke. Titus 2. And verse 13. Looking for. You know, that's one of our problems. We're not looking for it. Amen. Hello out there. This is a Baptist church. I know I saw the name out on the building. Listen to me. Looking for that blessed hope. Now, the only reason I can imagine that we wouldn't be looking for that blessed hope is we really don't have that blessed hope. We don't really hope it. I understand. You know, I always give teenagers a little room here, and I give children a little room because we talk about the coming of Christ, and they, you know, they kind of, well, I'd kind of like to know what it is to get married, you know, or graduate, and I'd like to do all those things. And I'm going to give you a little bit of room that you're maybe not as excited as someone who's old like me. Okay? I'm excited about Jesus coming. Now, there's a lot of things I'd like to do. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to see. But none of it is bigger than the fact that He's coming back. And I'm excited about Him coming. Amen? I mean, you know, mornings getting up is tougher. Every day is just tougher. It's like a resurrection. I'm serious. It drives me crazy. I think, okay, what is your problem, man? And the voice comes back. You're getting old. You know, and your body's getting older, and it just isn't like it used to be. But I'm telling you something, I start thinking about that blessed hope. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, He is coming again. He is coming. He'll come into our life and He'll bless us and He'll care for us and He loves us and His grace is sufficient for us. But are you looking? Are you looking with hope? Are you looking? We have got to raise those low spots, amen, with hope. With hope. You know, that's what soul winning is. That's what Vacation Bible, it's about giving out hope. Soul winning is the only hope for anyone. Are you listening? I mean, people are going to hell. People are going to burn in hell forever. Tell them about Jesus. The gospel is their hope. It's their only hope. You know, you say, well, you know, most of the world just seems discouraged. They ought to be discouraged. But God's people should never be discouraged. And you know what we should be doing? We should be telling them why we're not. Seriously, a lot of folks, your problem, nobody knows you're saved or they can't understand your salvation. You talk about Jesus coming. You talk about heaven. You talk about God taking care of you and answering your prayers. But your face doesn't say it. It's saying, woe is me. And you know why? The devil's got you convinced that the valley is where you need to build you a hut. Don't build your hut in the valley. Get out of that thing. Raise that thing up. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Number one is hope. Number two is humility. Notice again, it says the valleys need to be filled. We understand that. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And there needs to be some humility. Amen. Not only does there need to be hope, but there needs to be humility for the King to come. Oh, we need to have a time of humility. Humble themselves and pray. Then will I hear from heaven, God says. God's looking for some humility. You understand? It's like a big old mountain out there. Pride, as you're traveling down the road and you got to get around that mountain. You can't just climb a mountain and go over it. You got to go around and around and around. And it just wastes a lot of time. So the King's not going to come where he's got to climb up that big old mountain. We got to knock that thing down. Amen? And you know, in so many of our lives, humility is crucial. It's crucial. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:33, before honor is humility. Yeah, way before you get the honors, way before the reward, it's humility. God's not going to honor pride. God's not going to, we see it with the publican and the sinner. And the publican, he prays, the Bible says, with himself. And he says, oh God, I am such a good man. And I'm certainly not like that wicked heathen dog down there. Huh? But the wicked heathen dog is saying, oh God, I'm not worthy. Oh God, please forgive me. I'm so wicked. God, would you please forgive me? And the Bible says God's going to hear him. God's going to answer that prayer. Humility. Somebody says, what's wrong with our nation? Pride is one of our biggest problems. We've become self-sufficient. We don't need God. We needed God after 9/11. People were in shock. I watched some sporting events and watched the people. As it's sporting events in the United States of America, they sang God Bless America. And I saw tears streaming down. You know why? Because inside, their pride had been shattered. The pride of America. Our shorelines had been breached by the enemy. Our people had died on our soil. And people were scared. And their pride had been knocked down a little bit. But you know, we're back. We're back where we don't. In God we trust. Why would we have that on our coins? That's a violation of the separation of church and state. Oh, but it was God. It was God that gave us this nation. It was God that has blessed all these years. It's the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. Not a little g God. It was God. And he's blessed us so much. Christian, listen to me. Pride's got to go. Pride's got to go. Romans 12. Keep your place in Luke. We're going to go back there. Romans 12 and verse 3. You know the verse. We memorize verses 1 and 2, but we sometimes leave out Romans 12, 3. And it is a good verse to look at. Romans 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Daniel chapter 4 tells us about Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a big shot. I mean, he has heard that he, in his dream, he is the head of gold. You know what, Nebuchadnezzar? You are the greatest king. You're the head of gold. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, at first he didn't think a whole lot of that, but he started thinking about it. We're like that, aren't we? Somebody says to you, that's the best meal I've ever had. Oh, thank you so much. I am a pretty good cook. In fact, I'm a better cook than most people. In fact, I'm probably a better cook than some of these famous cooks. In fact, God's pretty fortunate to have me here on this earth to cook. In fact, I wonder if God could make some better food so that I could cook it better. See, and we start thinking weird. And old Nebuchadnezzar, he was doing all right for a while, but he got to thinking about being that head of gold. He got to thinking about how great he was in one day. And after he was warned in another dream, and he was told that God was going to bring him down. Just one day he gets up and starts looking at his buildings, looking at everything he's done, said, I'm great. And God said, oh, you're not. Boom. And he's like an animal in a field, chained, eating the grass and on all fours like an animal, the king, the head of gold. Boy, he got it right, didn't he? Yeah. Blessed be the God of Daniel. Yeah, he's able to abase. He's able to bring down the mountains. Amen? Humility. Humility. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need to knock down those high places because we need the King to come. Amen? I need the King to come. You need the King to come. Humility. There's hope. There's humility. Here's the third thing. The Bible says the valley should be filled, the mountains and hills should be brought low, but it also says the crooked shall be made straight. And I put for this honesty, because there's not a whole lot of honesty in our world today. The crooked needs to be made straight. No winding roads here, you know. And there's so much crookedness going on in our day. You know, here's the thing. You ever hear somebody say, just give it to me straight? You know, I've told doctors that before, you know, just give it to me straight. All right, I just want to know. Don't mess around. Just tell me the truth. I want to know. And I've done that with doctors before. And they say, you're fat. Couldn't you soften that a little bit? No. But I'm just saying, you know, hey, just tell the truth. You know what the Bible says? It says speaking the truth in love. But it always says truth. You know, we live in a day people don't want to tell the truth. I mean, church after church after church all across the world are messing around and playing church and not telling the truth. You know, somebody says, oh, I felt real good after that service. Who says you're supposed to feel good? You know, I have found that the truth doesn't always feel good. I'm just glad I get it with love. I thank God for preachers preaching the truth. I thank God for people giving me the truth when I was a long-haired hippie back in the 70s and telling me the truth that I was lost and on my way to hell. But and you know, there's nothing fun about that. Oh, goody, 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 I'm going to hell. No, but they told me the truth and they did it with love and I'm so glad somebody told me the truth. They didn't just try to entertain me. They told the truth. You know what people need today? They need the truth. They need to hear the truth from the old King James Bible. Just the truth. Not watered down, not whitewashed, not played with. I'm talking about the truth from God's Word. There is a hell. People are in hell. People are going to hell. And we have the truth of the gospel. But I don't want to offend anybody. But they're going to be offended in hell. Just the truth. Just tell the truth. Honesty. But you know why we don't tell the truth? Because we don't want to offend. And for some reverence, their offense might cause them not to get much pay. Yeah, go ahead. Get upset. But I'm just telling you, speak the truth in love. It's still the truth. We need honesty. Churches today, it is just so sad how many Burger King churches there are in this world. You know, have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. Have it your way. You know, whatever you want, if it feels good, do it. And that's right out of hell. It's what God says is the truth. People need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth. And you know, the Bible talks about adorning doctrine. We need to make our doctrine as loving as we possibly can. We need to make it as kind as we possibly can. I promise you this. You got all these decorations, but I guarantee you in the next 2 weeks, there will be more gospel and truth coming from this platform than years from other churches. And I mean that with all my heart, because it's the truth. You say, you're going to make people mad. I promise you we're going to make people mad. I promise you, there will be people mad. But it's the truth. We need the truth. You know, every time a police officer wrote me a ticket for speeding, here's what he said. He said, you were going this speed. Why'd you tell me that? Are you trying to hurt me? Sir, that's the speed you're trying to depress me, aren't you? Don't you understand? You have no right to do that to me. Sir, you were going this speed. But that offends me to tell me that. You're not supposed to offend me nowadays. You know what he was doing? He's telling me the truth. Did I like it? No. Time I stood in front of a judge, I didn't like that either. First time I ever wore a tie was my first speeding ticket going before a judge. I wore a nice clip-on tie. I think with a knit shirt. I'm going to I'll tell you, I didn't like what the judge said, but it was the truth. You know, I'd rather stand before some soul winner that cares and loves me and will tell me the truth than to stand before the judge and be condemned to hell for all eternity. Yeah, the truth. The truth shall set you free. And you know, as Christians, we need to keep getting the truth. Over and over and over and over and over. Honesty. Honesty. That's getting straightening out those crooked roads. Why? Because I need the king to come. That's why. Honesty. We have so much lying going on. Do you know anymore? It's not even considered when people talk about they're liars. The government. We don't believe them. We don't believe what they're saying. We've had so much corruption. You know, you hear it all the time. It's not like, huh? They lied. It's like, oh yeah, well, that's what'd you expect? How sad. How sad that is. How sad. People are liars. I mean, there's cheating going on. There are all kinds of different ways. They try to steal your identity and they're creating. I mean, if people would put as much effort and time into stealing our identity, and if they just get a job and put that effort into it, they'd be millionaires. Hello? Yeah. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Amen. And one lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie, and pretty soon that's all there is just deceit. And we have this idea, well, yeah, but nobody knows, but God does know. And God does not lie. We need to become honest in all that we do. Hey, pay your bills. Did you hear? Pay that thou owest. Pay it. I can't. It changed my lifestyle. You're a crook. Amen. This isn't in my notes. I feel bad and we're celebrating Christmas. Listen, look at me. If you owe our school money, you have no right to go on a vacation. Somebody say amen. What are you afraid of? Huh? I mean, you have no right. You say, well, I'm going on vacation. We have to do this. No, what you have to do is pay that thou owest. I don't even know who owes anything, so praise the Lord. Tim's sitting there going, oh, they're going to hate you. Don't hate me. I don't even know who you are. Hey, you say, well, I'm going to get you afterwards, then I'll know who you are. We're not sure who's going to end up getting who on that one. I'm just saying, that is dishonest. They should not have to send note after note after note after note after note. You owe, you owe, you owe, you owe, you owe, you owe, you owe. It should just be, oops, I forgot last month, or I was late last month, or I lost the bill last month. One time, maybe, but a bunch of times, never. Work it out, do something, pay your bills. Be honest with people. If you say you're going to do it, do it. It's frustrating. Amen. Now we're getting riled up. Tim's being real quiet over here. You know, crooked. I mean, buy something today. Buy a car. Buy a house. Do any of that. And you sign paper after paper after paper after paper after paper after paper. Used to, you could just shake hands. Mr. Banker, I will pay you the money for my house, and I promise you I will. And you shake. Boy, you oh, we can't do that nowadays, can we? Because there's so much dishonesty. So much dishonesty. I know, I got a reason. I got that. Okay, there's never a reason for not doing all you can. And going out and buying a brand new TV is not the answer. You know what? If you owe me money and you go out and buy a new TV, you're a crook. You say, preacher, I owe you money. I'm going to pay you back. And whatever it takes, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to do everything I can to pay you back. And until I pay you back, I'm not buying anything. You don't have any right to have anything till you pay it back. Well, you can eat. That's okay. In fact, I'd tell you, go ahead and eat. Well, there's this camper that we're looking at. Forget the camper. Okay, forget the camper. Camp in your living room. Okay, set up a tent in the living room. It'll work. It works. It really does. You know, put your sleeping bags out on the porch. Did it as a kid all the time. Hello? Okay. It's just good old-fashioned character. I'm going to tell you, you know, we want God's power on our lives, and we want God's blessing on our lives, and we got crooked roads, and we're trying to call Him to. You know, God, I'd sure like You to come down with power, but we lie, we're dishonest, we cheat, we're always looking for ways to scheme. Oh, let me tell you, we need character. We need character. And you know, another form of lying is hypocrisy. Amen. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let me give you another verse. 1 Corinthians 3:18. I'm getting there. It says, let no man deceive himself. That's happened. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Unfortunately, we have so many folks that have deceived themselves. Well, I'm a good Christian. Are you really? We've deceived ourselves. Amen. Hey, listen, it's time to straighten up that road and have good old-fashioned character and be honest. We have, first of all, we need hope in our day and in our lives. We need humility. Number three, we need honesty. And then the last thing, number four, is we need holiness. Holiness. Oh, the very word causes us to tremble. Well, you know what? It should. The Holy of Holies was a special place. It meant God's presence. Holiness. Now, what's he talking about there? He says those rough ways, they need to be made smooth. That's holiness. That's smoothing out those bumpy parts of our lives. Huh? Yeah. That's all that unconfessed sin. Now all you need to do is just get it right with God and move on away from it. But you know, it's annoying when you're on a bumpy road, isn't it? You know, it really is. It's tough. We don't like it. Can you imagine what it is for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When he starts to maneuver around our bumpy life. Yeah. You know, our thought life, what we listen to, what we do, where we go, griping, complaining, bitterness. Huh? We need to get it all smoothed out. I love 1 John 1:9. And I'm not one that says, you know, you can use that as a crutch. But the truth is, you can. But more than anything, you can use it to smooth out your life. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us, our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thank God for that. Because there isn't a person in here that doesn't have a little bumpy road every now and then. Not one of us. You say, oh, my life is smooth. You better go back to point number two. And then you better be realistic with point number three because you've deceived yourself. Yeah, we all have bumps. We all have those rocky spots. And we just need to get them right with God. Be honest with God. Hey, the stuff you're looking at on the internet, be honest with God. Talk to God. I am a wicked sinner. The stuff you're reading, be honest with God. I'm wicked. It's wrong. Forgive me, God. Help me to get rid of this garbage. The stuff you talk about, the things that you think, those kinds of areas of our lives, be honest with Him. Let me get you to Psalm 139, then we're going to be done. Psalms 139, verse 23. Boy, this is so good. Psalms 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you understand? See if there be any wicked. He already knows what's in us. Look, the prayer is, God, You show me what's in me that is wicked. Because I've deceived myself. I don't see it, God. Or I do see it, but I've held on to it so long, it's like it's part of me. And God, I know that it's wrong and it's a bumpy road and I need You. I need You more than I need those rocks. I need You more than I need those potholes. I need You more than I need that rough, bumpy pathway. God, I need You. I need the King to come. I need the King more. By the way, you need the King more than you need anything else in this world. You need the King more than you need your sports team to win. You need the King more than you need a raise at your job. Hello? You need the King more than you need a promotion at work. You need the King more than you need a new car. You need the King more than you need a new TV, whether you have digital or not. You need the King more than you need anything in this world. You need the King more than you need a good report from your doctor. You need the King more than you need Dr. Brown to straighten out your back. You need your road straightened out. You need the King more than anything in all this world. There is nothing that is more important than the King coming. And we need the King to come. We need Him to come to Berean Baptist Church. We need Him to come to Adrian, Michigan. We need the King in Lenawee County. We need the King to come. We need Him to come during Bible school. We need Him to come during the fair ministry. We need Him at Reformers Unanimous every Friday night. We need Him in our prison ministry. We need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to bless our shepherds over across the way. We need the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our Christian school. We need Him with our kids going to college and with our kids in Bible college and secular college. We need Him to come. We need Him with our missionaries all across this world, some of them going through tough, tough times. Hey, we need the King of Kings to come. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Hope, humility, honesty, holiness. Let's bow our heads, please.